from your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web, it's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one. Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 13 years now on the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the latest episode of Tragedy and Hope with my most excellent co-host, Richard Grove. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Maria. Hello, everyone listening.
I got to tell you, you have a lot of street cred on Facebook, whether you're on Facebook or not, but a lot of people are very aware of your work.
That's interesting because I'm not on the Facebook.
Well, you know, you might want to set up just a business page just so you can, you know, keep your fans happy. That's what I did.
We do maintain a Tragedy and Hope page, and there's also one for the Ultimate History Lesson. So people who have screened the Ultimate History Lessons or are fans of our other productions, they can find our latest publications on Facebook. I just don't personally keep a page on there.
Well, all righty. Anyway, what are you thinking of this election? The big race is on.
Yeah, I really don't know, say, because I'm not tuned into the election. I don't think that the future is determined by the election. I'm under no false impressions that these people, you know, whoever pays the most to rent the house, rents the house, but they have to serve the same agenda of the people who own the house and built the house and maintain the house. So understanding geopolitics and history from the perspective that I do, I don't enjoy watching any of the presidential shenanigans or theater, because that's what it is. It's scripted. It's not real. They're not addressing real questions that real people have to deal with every day to get through their lives. They're not dealing with the frustrations and concerns and confusion that is generated by the public corporate media that's out there, you know, the public mass media, as we have all consumed it all our lives. That's not there to educate us on how to be free and self-reliant. It's there to condition us to comply with the authorities and how they think things should go for us.
But Rich, it's supposed to be the people's house. What happened to people's house?
You need a well-informed electorate, and we don't have a well-informed electorate in this country, and thus the elections have been shams for like the last 100 years at least. All three candidates in 1900 were bought by the same banking family, the Warburgs, and three brothers, you know, funded the three candidates. So I'm under no false illusion that, you know, it's changed significantly since then, except the names of the companies and the financiers and the names of the candidates.
Exactly. Well, you know, at the people's house yesterday, there were mass arrests from people just standing there protesting with signs. So I guess they're no longer allowed to protest in front of the people's house. And yet you're going to still get the same people. You know, I'm still hearing, you know, all these years, still hearing the same argument from people. You know, you can't, who are you going to vote for? You know, you got to vote for somebody. You vote for a third party. Your vote's thrown out the window. You know, I posted something that said, vote for nobody. And I think that as long as people keep playing their game, they have no reason to change it.
Well, and there is a way to play in the game and to change the game, but you can't do it from, you know, copying what you've seen other people do unsuccessfully. Holding signs in front of a building, it doesn't do as much as if you got your thoughts together and you went down to your town hall, and at a town meeting when the people who run the town are there and there's an audience, you get up and you go and ask your question. And your question is, I'm a citizen, I'm a taxpayer, I'm a resident of this town, you're the government. Your job is to protect and serve my rights, and here's the status of my rights. My rights are being jacked. You know, everything that we need, you know, the food's being poisoned, the water's got fluoride in it, the air's got chemtrails, the economy's, you know, in the crapper on purpose because they figured out how to profit from ignorance and pain and not from a creative producing angle. They figured out how to, you know, basically plunder other people's hard work. So as the government, what are you guys going to do about this? Or do we have to go interview some new people to sit in those chairs and to take the money that you're taking to do nothing? That's much more effective than holding a sign out in front of the White House.
Right. You know, I think it was years ago when I interviewed Catherine Austin Fitz, who I said should change her name to Catherine Awesome Fitz, and she was talking about taking your money out of the big banks. She made a point that I never forgot. She says that you can do all the protesting you want, and as long as the banks have your money, they don't really care.
As long as you're taking the bank's money, they don't really care. Because we live in a world that is based on voluntary servitude. We voluntarily participate in the system unwittingly and ignorantly, but we don't have to continue participating in the system unwittingly and ignorantly. We can start to observe, gather the data, get informed, you know, knowledge and high degrees of certainty. And that's going to change our actions. And that's not something they're planning for. It's not something they want to stimulate. They don't want you to go to your library and, you know, get familiar with the local knowledge around you. They don't want you talking to other business owners about what's really going on. They don't want these things. I say those are the things you should be doing. They're nonviolent, and they have everything to do with people voluntarily getting together, resolving these problems, and enacting solutions that don't hurt anybody except the people who are trying to control us through our own voluntary servitude.
Right. So basically, learn your rights and then exercise your rights.
Learning the answer, what's the question? Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Well, today I'll be having one of those meetings with one of my city representatives over a complaint that I have. I tried it the nice way first, but I guess an in-face person visit is about to happen this afternoon, little to their knowledge. But
what's the nature of your complaint?
Well, the nature of my complaint is my neighbor has got basically a fire hazard on his property. We have a city culvert where the water is, you know, for the neighborhood drains through, which has been overclogged and backing up. And I had gone down to the city and inquired about, you know, where's everybody's property start and who owns the culvert, who's responsible to clean it, who's responsible to clean up the fire hazard of all the dried pine needles, et cetera. And, you know, they try to give me the old brush off, wrong thing to do with Maria Heller. And then I reported it to the fire department. And I said, you know, this is a major fire hazard. You know, we do live in an extremely fire-prone area of Arizona. And, you know, their answer was, we'll put it in the pipeline. You may hear from us in 3 weeks. So that doesn't sit well with me. So I'll be paying them a citizen's visit shortly after our show today. So they can start.
Well, I'm sure they're going to deal with, you know, if there's someone in their office raising a complaint, that has more validity in their purview than somebody who just sends a paper complaint, because you're in the office and they have to deal with you then. That's an unscheduled meeting that they have to deal with then. So,
well, yeah, no, you know, I'm sure they'll start a file on Maria Heller, I'm sure, if they don't already have one.
Oh, you can be politely assertive. You know, it's not a threatening situation. You're asking them simply to do their job.
Right. What they get paid to do. Hello. That's what my taxes go for. But
if you see that you can get paid without doing your job, maybe you should go interview for their position.
Maybe I should. Believe me, I've had people already approach me to run for office here, and I'm trying not to.
But the people that are running our local governments, look, even with their best intentions and their best qualifications, are ill-informed at best and unwittingly ignorant and pawns of a whole Agenda 21 scheme, for instance, at worst. So the way to get through is to get them, you know, question your local government and the people who are running or aren't running things into the ground in a lot of cases, and simply explain, this is your responsibility, and if you don't want to take care of it, I know that, you know, there's several people who want a job where they don't have to actually carry out responsibilities. So even if you, you know, think that's the way it works here, guess what? Someone else is going to end up with your job because they'll do it for half the price. Mm-hmm. And I'll find 10 people to come, you know, approach your boss to work, you know, in your position.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, the best tactic to start out with, but that's the reality of the situation. There are people out there taking a bunch of money to sow the seeds of destruction throughout our communities. And once we become aware of it, we no longer have to voluntarily tolerate that and vote for it, you know, to continue. We can think about creative change and get some other people who have likewise interest and concerns, because these things that are happening to everyone in our communities, not just one color or nationality of people or one income level. They're happening across the spectrum. It's full spectrum dominance on, you know, on our bodies, on
right.
our minds.
Well, trust me, I won't leave until I have my answers. So I'll wear a taser-proof vest today, just in case. But you know what? I mean, I have found that when it comes to government, you have to force people to do their job. That's just the way it is. If you expect that they're going to do their job, it's like going to a doctor. A lot of my friends and my clients are learning that they have to tell their doctor what to do, because otherwise the doctor just brushes them off. I mean, we live in a society of, you know, let's just brush it off or push it off on somebody else.
Well, we live in a society that has taught us to worship these authorities and experts. And again, doctors with the best experience and the best intentions, which is your best case scenario, are still ill-informed, because the foundations that control the medical institutions and the places that give out the MD degree, they've all been built by the people that are running international corporations, the pharmaceutical corporations, the energy corporations. These are the same foundations that corrupted public schooling. So it's not just in one area where they said, we'll take over public schooling. They also took over the medical universities, which also takes control of healthcare and thus our ideas about healthcare. So it's everyone's responsibility. Should you need to have an allopathic doctor to do your due diligence and to do your homework every step of the way, you almost need to become your own doctor. That's not possible in all situations. And you're going to have to instill some trust in that system, because that's the nature of the beast. But right. You need to enter into those situations in an educated manner and know what should and should not be going on during those interactions. Like, when I burned my hand a couple months ago, the next thing they wanted to do while I was there and still, in shock from the event, was give me a vaccination. Oh, here's the tetanus. Well, is it just tetanus? No, it's tetanus and these other things. And, so basically Lisa had to ask a couple questions very assertively, to which the doctors couldn't answer, and we had to refuse it. And I'm still fine.
Right, you're still alive. Yeah,
make an educated guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, totally agree.
What's the risk? Because from my perspective, my immune system was working fine. I just suffered a burn. Now, there's a chance there might be tetanus, but there's also a greater chance in my mind that the vaccination was going to do something ill to my immune system, and I can't afford that long-term health problem. I can't really afford tetanus either, but, you have to know the situation that you were in. How much, know what tetanus is, what type of environment it grows in, what types of metal or, these different substances where it might be found, and then, be educated about it.
Absolutely. Well, today is International Farm Animals Day. And it's interesting because I got a poster from Mercy for Animals about it, very cute poster with a cute little pig on it, piglet. And I posted it on my wall, and I said, and this is why I choose not to eat animals. And I'm sure I'll get a lot of flack and shit from that. But I put things up specifically to make people angry, to get them to think, to get them to challenge and argue their point of view, because at least it starts the blood flowing. And I know there, maybe there's some life in there after all. But when you look at farm animals, and these mean free-range farm animals, we're not talking about big pharma's mass production of, soulless cloned animals and, the mistreatment of what goes on there. When you look at that, and I tell people all the time, about staying away from GMO foods, from staying away from anything packaged, anything processed. People look at me like I'm crazy, Rich, because they're so addicted to the garbage they eat. And they think it's just garbage that's just going to give them one or two little diseases or maybe make them fat. But they have no idea that this stuff is actually changing their DNA. And I believe sterilizing the majority of the population.
Well, those are some heavy claims, Maria.
I know.
Got a lot of thought on that subject.
I know.
Did you before I address that? Did you see the article in the past week where they're feeding cows gummy worms?
Oh yeah, that was one of my favorite stories to report on the news. Gummy worms and all kinds of candy and crap, because they're saying it's cheaper than feed.
Right.
So I said, well, I guess this will be an even quicker way, a quicker route to getting diabetes than before.
Yeah, and that's from I thought it was a farm in Kansas, and it was reported by Reuters. So that's an international news story. Now, what do you think people in other countries who aren't as industrialized think about the fact that we feed our cows gummy worms and then we buy that as meat?
Right.
What do you think they might think about that?
Well, the majority of the world refuses our meat. And for good reason.
Okay, so, and there's a bunch of countries in Europe that refuse GMOs. So what do those countries know? What are they aware of that people in America might not be aware of? The long-term health effects, the philosophical underpinnings of eugenics and trying to change people's DNA through their unwitting consumption of things that masquerade as food, but really are a chemical concoction created by a for-public international corporation that acts as a psychopath. I mean, this is what we are paying for in the grocery stores that's not labeled as GMO, that is genetically modified, that we think is food, and then we can't understand why we have all these health problems.
Well, I think there's a huge difference between food and food products. And they always call anything that they make food products. Okay. It's either food or it's a food product.
Well, it used to be if it had a barcode, it's a food product. And if it doesn't have a barcode, like tomatoes and zucchini and things like that, then it was natural. But now, with all the pesticides and the Monsanto not only genetically modifying the plants, but also the pesticides, also the fertilizer, also the irrigation systems, so there's this whole full spectrum that is projected into this plant, and then it's being sold to you as if it's natural. And so there's no reason, there's no logical form and function reason for our survival that we need to do this. It's not because of overpopulation. It's not because of poverty, because we throw tons and tons and tons of food as a country away purposely through subsidies and, just like the government milk subsidy where they dump out milk, perfectly good milk, mm-hmm. instead of, giving it to people who need it. They do this to artificially float the corruption within capitalism. It's not that capitalism itself is so, evil. It's that capitalism itself cannot survive without someone to manage or some group or some entity to manage the greed and corruption. Because when you have a free market, when you have people producing, when you have all these things that made America great, it attracts plunderers. In our case, they came from outside the country, came here, bought up all our land, bought up the resources, bought up the market, and they remain in control of our central bank. So that's the story of why and who and how genetically modified foods are finding their way to your family's table. But the way to get them off your table isn't as simple as just understanding those, those couple sentences. You now need to learn to recognize what is food and what is not food, because the things masquerading as food are creating the health problems, the epidemics of diabetes and all these other things that are in our society. It's not just vaccinations. It's not just chemtrails. It's not just our food. It's not just the fluoride in our water. It's the combination of all these things.
Right.
What happens when you give a baby processed, milk products, Similac or something like that, and then you add fluoridated water in there coming out of the tap? What type of interaction does that have in a baby's body?
Right. Then add all the dozens of vaccines that you give a healthy little baby's body at the same time to work in conjunction with all the other poison going into that baby. And then you've got a zombie.
Or worse, because there's children being adversely affected, there's parents and families being adversely affected because of their unwitting participation in these vaccine schedules, in their unwitting participation in buying things that they think are food for their child, but are not food. That's poison. And the fact that we don't label poison clearly anymore with Mr. Yuck stickers is just a sign of the times that we live in, because they don't want us to be aware of the dangers and the poisons in our society, because they figured out too many ways to profit off of that. They even, created, the derivatives trading so they can place bets on profiting from people's loss and their pain and their ignorance. And all I'm saying is it's a vicious cycle that will continue until we learn to ask substantial questions, find the relevant answers, and learn our way out of these cycles, because it's our voluntary servitude that is getting us all into trouble every day, all day. Mm-hmm. And the only way I've found to resolve that is to learn how to think for yourself.
Absolutely. There's a saying, organic food. It's what our grandparents used to call food. And when I look at some of what passes for food in the grocery store, it's frightening to me. And, I can't help myself. I'm always looking in other people's baskets, and I look to see what they're putting on the counter, and I look at their physical body. And, because I see people differently than others, I mean, I can even see how sick their aura is. They have a gray tone about them. And I can see the direct correlation between the garbage they're buying and the garbage their body is producing. And, you know, it's not something you can just, you know, blurt out and talk to people about. I mean, if somebody at the store will ask me, you know, what's this or what's that, because most people don't recognize most vegetables anymore. So they'll ask me, you know, what is that? How do you cook it? What do you do with it? Then I will always use the segue. Do you know what I mean? But otherwise, I keep my mouth shut so I don't end up, you know, getting jumped online in a grocery store.
Well, it's like, what do we all need to do to integrate this learning into our actions? We need to be presented with credible information in an order that we can consume. So starting with a big, heavy book by someone like Jeffrey M. Smith, like Seeds of Deception or Genetic Roulette, that might not be the best entry into communicating this to yourself, family, or loved ones, because unless reading books is their specific intake metaphor that they enjoy, it's just going to sit there and collect dust. So what I find is you need to figure out who you're trying to communicate with and how they like to consume their information. Do they like to watch, you know, TV, or do they like to read the newspaper, or do they like to look at stuff online? And then try to find content that's in that deliverable. So in the case of people who like to watch YouTube pages and, you know, look at videos on Facebook and share them through social networks, there's, for instance, a presentation by Jeffrey M. Smith where he'll discuss his book and his new film in such a way that I found so compelling that now I am going to get his book and read it and probably interview him, because the message that I got therein was, it's not just that genetically modified food can make you ill in the short term, but then it makes you ill in the long term. That just like, you know, the wrong trip to the wrong corporate restaurant could leave you sick for a long time. And is it really worth it? Do you want these organisms like burrowing holes through your stomach and causing leaky gut syndrome and stuff like that? That was something that made a picture in my mind that I said, you know what? That's going to help me overcome those temporary moments of, you know, the loss of reason where you want to engage in fast food and things like that. So slowly but surely, exposure to these ideas, a conscious individual will learn and integrate and change their behavior and change their habits. And that's the voluntary servitude that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Our habits unwittingly are serving the people who keep us as slaves.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, let's identify the habits that we can change and make productive habits that aren't as easily preyed on or plundered.
Right. Well, you know, yesterday I had a news story, I guess a new study that was done, and how many studies they need to do to figure out what to me is, you know, all you have to do is look at it to know. But they did a new study now and have realized something that I can tell you. I had doctors on my show 10 years ago that made the connection that Alzheimer's is actually another form of diabetes, totally diet related.
Well, that's not surprising, because I had looked into the causes of Alzheimer's, and you can't say it's definitely one thing, but it is a combination. You know, people have exposure to vaccines and genetically modified foods, and then fluoride in their water, and then malnutrition. It's the malnutrition that prevents your body from working. So the fact that we are adults and we're not taught at some point and didn't really gather this information ourselves, we depend on doctors on how our body works, what it needs to run. You know, most people think, oh, I can just take a multivitamin. And your body's not just a multivitamin. Your body is a composite of all these different things. And if you don't feed those different areas, for instance, if you don't get the right essential fatty acids and oils and other minerals and nutrients, your joints will get rheumatoid arthritis. You'll have these problems that people think, oh, it's just part of getting old. No, that's a mineral and nutrition deficiency, and it's a function of what we put in our bodies. And the more not food you put in your body, the more your body just holds all this extra stuff waiting to process it. That's the cause of obesity. I think it's malnutrition and the fact that we eat things that aren't food.
Absolutely. And, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that basically a lot of what they're eating is sawdust and wood, and they might as well be eating cardboard, you know, with all the different fillers and things that they, you know, stretch this stuff out with, besides the chemicals. You know, for me,
in fact, can we call something chicken nuggets that, you know, is made of 38 things, like 35 of which are not chicken, and, you know, they're made of corn.
Right.
Right. So, you know, there's the way that I've noticed recently is, you know, I've had this idea for the past couple of years about using comedy to get these ideas out. And along the way, I bumped into a comedian named Lee Camp. And I get his email updates, you know, once or twice a week called Moment to Clarity. And he did one last week called, you know, You Won't Believe What You're Eating. And it was about how corn has become subsidized since the 1970s, just right up there with Romney and Monsanto and his support of Monsanto in 1977, all the way through the Bush administration, and then it was released on the American population without people being told or informed or given the choice. So essentially, the government has been doing experiments on people for a long time. This one specific happens to be dealing with our food. They don't tell their victims. And this goes on. So this is a fact of life that we should all be made aware of at the earliest point in our life. I mean, just last week, the EPA was gassing people in a hospital with diesel fumes just to see what would happen. Mm-hmm. That's a legitimate story. That really happened. Now there's a lawsuit. But the fact that they would do something that so closely resembles the Holocaust and just do it to see how people would react, I think these are serious signs on the road ahead, and we should pay attention and maybe change roads we're on.
Right. Well, you know, I have that story that Army scientists had secretly sprayed St. Louis, with radioactive particles for years to test chemical warfare technology. So when people believe that their government wouldn't hurt them, that's really living in the twilight zone.
Well, the government is like a mask. And so it's like saying someone who obscures their identity and wants to be anonymous and separate from you, yet take your resources to do what they do, they would never hurt you. Now, if I tried to sell you that idea, you would never buy it. But if we were brought up in conditions like fish and water, we've never been separate from this you know, paradigm, then you'd never notice it. Mm-hmm. And that's very much what happens, people. We've never been separated from the illusion paradigm until we bump up against reality and we're like, whoa, my real barrier to discovery was my illusion that I knew things without asking the questions. And that's what public school does. It teaches you knowledge without you asking the questions and finding the answers. So that's not knowledge. It's a clever redefinition of our words in order to take away our liberty.
Right. Well, you know, today a very famous environmentalist died. He was from Brooklyn, as usual. It seems everybody of any worth seems to come from Brooklyn, New York. His name was Barry Commoner. I don't know if you ever heard of him. A lot of us haven't. I mean, he just died. He was 95 years old. But not only did he warn of the danger of nuclear weapons testing, he also talked about recycling organic food. We're talking somebody was 95. Organic food, reducing fossil fuel use. He was one of the first people to give us the global effects of radioactive fallout from our above ground testing, which he also had found strontium 90 in baby teeth of thousands of children in America. So if it wasn't for him, the nuclear test ban treaty of 1963 would never have happened. And yet this guy died, and there's very little about him in the news.
Well, they don't want people thinking about banning nuclear weapons and treaties and stuff like that.
That would be a bad thing. Well, you know what I find interesting? Now you have Proposition 37, which they're saying is probably going to pass in California. But what people don't understand with a labeling law, you know, years ago, Ronnie Cummins told me on the show, you know, these labels, the labeling law was passed in 1995. And since that time, lobbyists have stopped the labels from being put on our food.
I wonder why.
Right. So even if there is a law, there's no guarantee that they put it into effect. And now people are still fighting to pass something that was passed, just never used.
Money is a great tool until it's used for things that are contrary to the interest of survival. And so even though genetically modified food labeling applies to everyone, including the people who took the money to lobby against it, they don't care. They can set aside their family's health and welfare and just take the money. And so it's just good to be aware that there are some people on this planet like that. Most people are cool. Most people you'd want to, you know, share a table with and have a conversation. The rest, you know, the small group of people that happen to be in control, they act as if they're sociopaths. And if you're in higher levels of that, they're definitely psychopaths because that's how they maintain their power.
Absolutely.
It's just good to know these basics that you're going to be wandering around Earth, and they don't tell us.
Well, you know, people always ask me, and I'm sure you hear the same question, Richard. They'll say, well, why would these people do that? They have to live on this planet too. They have families too. And I'm like, first of all, even Monsanto doesn't serve GMO food in their office building to their own executives. There is no GMO food.
One of the guys who did the bovine growth hormone study, the three scientists, they all stopped drinking milk. Except the one guy who bought his own cow. Right? And so when you watch the reactions of the scientists and how they take their families off that food, that should tell the rest of us. They are like the canaries in the coal mine, you know, telling us that there's no oxygen there. You know, get out of here.
Right.
You know, and it brings to mind, you know, the question, why would they do this? If they're, that's where you don't want to understand, because they're psychopaths. You don't want to understand their thinking as clearly as they do. But you need to know they exist. You need to protect your friends and family from these types of people. And, you know, looking at something like, for instance, the Club of Rome. The Club of Rome was founded in, I think it was 1972, and it's a group of people who have, I'll just give you a couple quotes here. You know, they have the opinion that the earth has a cancer and the cancer is man. That they're, you know, here to transform the planet on behalf of everyone else. You know, so they think that they have the right to make decisions in the lives of other people, which is, you know, a violation of your free will and your rights as a human being. And they're doing this with ultimate funding. And they want to depopulate the earth by as much, in some of these quotes, as 95%. Uh-huh. That includes their own families. I mean, so what you're trying to understand is the role of the psychopath in world affairs and, you know,
right.
socioeconomics.
But this is what that's I tell people. Planning. If you're a normal person, there's no way your mind can understand the mind of a psychopath or sociopath. So why bother trying? You're never going to understand it.
Look, you can't fight something you don't understand, so you have to understand the basics of their existence and how they operate and their philosophy. But you don't need to be crazy. You don't need to be irrational to deal with these people. That's what I'm saying. You don't need to play their same game in order to deal with them. You can observe that, you know, they may not be evil, but they're definitely dangerous. So let's start there. Because evil might be an opinion, but dangerous is an observation. These people are dangerous to our way of life, and that is just as a, you know, voluntary person who seeks to produce and not be plundered.
Right.
That's what I mean by our way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Honest living, hard work, and not having someone else come and steal it and call themselves your authority.
Right.
Sorry, I almost swore there. The Club of Rome is just one group, and they're a working group that carries out a larger agenda that's based on Darwinism and social Darwinism and eugenics. And that's where the genetically modified food comes in. They've been modifying plants and animals because they want to control us like a herd. That's also where the vaccinations tie in. That's also where making us sick and dependent on state health care ties in. So when you look at it from its totality, when you look at it from a macro historical perspective, from all these different points and stories and these things going on, it's not just chemtrails or GMOs or all these other points. It's all these things together. And so it just shows you what a wondrous and like dynamic thing the human body is. We can be getting fluoridated and genetically modified and all sort of stuff, but we can still be conscious of it and do something about it so it doesn't have to continue.
Right.
We've lived this far, and I say if we've lived this far to have this realization, that we can do anything we need to survive and not have to violate, you know, natural law.
Absolutely. You know, I remember when Michelle Obama planted her organic garden on the White House grounds, and how quickly lobbyists, especially Monsanto lobbyists, started ripping it to shreds and did not want her setting that example for the nation.
Well, they can't afford it, plain and simple. I mean, they've set themselves up to profit from poison and pain and ignorance and all those Indian farmers that they've killed with their Terminator seeds and the contracts and the loans for fertilizer. That carries karma. And it's not that the future doesn't notice that, you know, Monsanto is doing all these things. It's just that the present hasn't caught up on the understanding of how poisonous all this corporate international anti-human behavior really is in the long run.
Well, and it's not just poisonous to our bodies. It's poisonous to our entire environment, too. Rich, we're going to go to a short break. When we get back, let's talk about our brains. Let's talk about our brains, because I think our brains are the number one organ of attack. Stay with us. We'll be right back. 13 years ago, I was doing regular radio, and a young man asked if I'd like to do an internet radio show. There wasn't anything like it at the time. People didn't even have speakers on their computers, and if they did, they barely knew how to use them. I said, it sounds like fun, so I'll try it for a few months. I started off DJing 60s music, and then whoop, Bush ran for president. Immediately, I became political to try and prevent the idiot king from getting elected. You see, as an environmentalist, I knew what a disastrous choice he'd be. Then I learned our vote means nothing when the Supreme Court decided to make him president. I learned about stolen elections. Then 9/11 happened, and I learned about false flags and how everything I ever learned in school was a lie. Woe was me. Well, now it's 13 years later, and I'm still doing internet radio. Why? So children and grandchildren everywhere may have a fighting chance for a future. Although I never had any desire to do radio, I'm still doing it for future generations. 13 is a lucky number, so come check it out if you're ready for the truth at maria.net. If you resonate with it, by all means, pick a subscription of your choice and get the education you deserve. Real freedom always comes at a cost. Don't let it be your life or your children's lives. Now let's get back to the show. Okay, welcome back to Tragedy and Hope with my co-host Richard Grove. If you're new to the show, get over to tragedyandhope.com. Check out his work. Rich, I know you just put together another presentation. Want to talk a little bit about it?
The presentation was on how social racism affects eugenics and social Darwinism. So it's scientific racism, social racism. It's the use of science to divide and conquer the different peoples of the planet. And one of the ways that they roll this out is called Agenda 21, which is a United Nations project. So to take a step back, what I present in the Peace Revolution is a stream of consciousness that allows people to attain their own education on their own time about things that they don't teach us in college. And so the past several episodes have focused on the use of cybernetics and technocracy to govern people unwittingly, and also Agenda 21, which is a United Nations governmental plan to dissolve the nations and create a global state. So they're using all these different tactics and working groups and strategic angles to basically carry out their plan multi-leveled at the same time. So they're not just doing one thing at a time. They're now implementing several levels because I think they're trying to speed up their time frame. I think that their desired time frame is being threatened by a global awakening of political consciousness. And so I think there's a lot of room for opportunity because when they have to do several things at once, people start to wake up even quicker. There's a lot more room for error where we can catch them with their contradictions and make media to communicate to people. Mm-hmm. And so the latest episode, episode 64, has a BBC presentation on scientific racism that shows the history of Darwinism and eugenics as applied to social control. And then the other topics in there include Jeffrey M. Smith presenting on GMOs and the combination is striking because within one classroom session, which is supposed to be listened to 1 hour a day over a week, so it's roughly about 7 hours, you're going to learn about fluoride and GMOs and eugenics and the history of how this all ties together, why they're doing it, who's doing it, how you can, separate yourself from it and educate your friends. And it's an ongoing curriculum. So that's where we're at right now with the audience.
Right, right. And what people don't realize is since the get-go, when it came to biotechnology, they deregulated everything. So they basically let them have wild reign, to put their Roundup Ready and all our food and everything else. And as a result, we have a lot of people who are having these brain degenerative diseases, chronic inflammation of the brain. That's without the cell phone brain tumors. We'll leave that one for another day. But even that, let's toss in technology and how that's changing our DNA, how we're all walking around in a web of waves hitting us, at all times.
Well, that's ironic that you mention that, unless you're spying on my computer, because I was watching a video this morning. A friend of mine, Josh Del Sol, is putting out a movie called Take Back Your Power, which is about smart meters and cybernetics and technology and how it's adversely affecting the population. the interview I saw this morning was with one of the candidates that's one of the people he interviewed within the documentary. It's a 45 minutes, like the whole interview, and he's basically talking about the ill effects of electromagnetic radiation on the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not too sure about all of that, but I know from the legitimate angles of them spying and doing surveillance, and it basically makes wiretapping obsolete, all these other angles are reasons for concern. If it hurts our health, that's just one more reason to become aware of what's going on and to educate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, so a lot of people, right. Well, you know, a lot of people, a lot of experts have said if you have a laptop, the worst place to put it is on your lap, especially if you're a man, because they're finding that, you know, it is changing their ability to reproduce.
Well, let's say that there is some causal correlation between electromagnetic radiation and our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our bodies are run on electromagnetic radiation, our hearts and our minds, and, you know, run on that. So that basically formulates our consciousness and our physical being, the electromagnetic field. When it leaves, you're dead. Mm-hmm. So if we continue to put things around us that are, you know, adversely or unwittingly affecting those fields in ways that we can't understand or know about what the cause and effect is, because they're not doing studies before they sell these products,
uh-huh.
then we're putting ourselves at risk. But on the other hand, if you are exposed to electromagnetic radiation, and you've got vaccinations with heavy metals in your body, and you're being exposed to GMOs, and you're being exposed to aluminum and heavy metals in the air through chemtrails, and you're being exposed to fluoride through your tap water, I mean, how much do you think your body can really resist over time? Your immune system is going to break down, and you're going to have some sort of illness that they characterize as, you know, something that they say, but they can't really test for it. They can't, you know, this is what the diseases are turning into. There are these globs, these amorphous things that are just a list of, you know, symptoms, but no one can find the root cause for it.
Right.
So I think the root cause is our environment. I think our genetics were fine until people started breeding us like we were racehorses or dogs. And I think our food was fine until they started messing with that like they were Dr. Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know what? It's all by design. That makes it even scarier. None of it by accident. This is, you know, when people say, oh, we have to fix this political system, I said, fix it. It's not broken. It was set up that way. You know, it's hard for people to get that.
In my wheelhouse, because I wanted to go find out if this was by accident, if this was because of incompetence, if we had just hired the wrong people to run this place. Like, what the fuck was going on? I needed to find that out for myself. To ask the questions, to get into the history, is where I found the most value, because when you find out that it is on purpose, and that there's very cleverly organized people who are very well-funded who have been doing this over a series of decades, nay, centuries, to bring us to this point, that is where you see the corruption in this philosophy that has led to what we have here today, which is humanity on the brink of extinction. But it doesn't have to be this way. They had to shut off our thinking. They had to shut off our communication with each other. They had to divide us and conquer us and fill our heads with billions and billions and billions of dollars of illusions.
Right.
And cut through all that with a little question and answer and communication with your friends. We can get right back to where we need to be as America, as self-reliant, productive people. But first, we must recognize the intraspecific kleptoparasites who are plundering all of our lives.
Right. Well, you know, I know you and I have talked about this probably years ago, Rich, of the invention of TV and, you know, the whole mesmer and the mesmerism and et cetera. So if you toss in that they have deliberately created a society that has become sedentary, you're just really less active than a rat in a cage in a laboratory. So here you are, you know, you're a couch potato. The potato's GMO, you know, your couch is made of toxic materials. You're filling your head with toxic materials and stuffing your face with garbage all at the same time. How could they not be happy over that result?
Well, and how could the fact that so many people could be embodied by that stereotype be an accident? It happened through conditioning in the media. So if we want to uncondition people, if we want to give them their chance to uncondition themselves, because, you know, they have to do it for themselves, we need to create media that looks similar to what they're used to taking in, but has something substance. It's just like if you needed to get someone off GMOs. We need to find them some real food that's just like the GMO food, but, you know, give them a couple reasons why they should eat this one. It's just like this, but it's just not as sparkly and tasty because it doesn't have all those artificial chemicals that we're spending billions of dollars to figure out how to manipulate your taste buds.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I know you said earlier you have to address your audience's likes, whether they like books, a short video, a movie. What I find is if I find the right poster and put it up on Facebook, I'll get 600-700 people commenting on it, and I've got their attention. Yesterday, I actually put up a poster that listed no less than 30 different companies where it's pre-made food and none of it is GMO. Those types of things are what people want. They want to know, you know, well, what do I buy? You have to actually tell them, take them by the hand, because most people don't have the time or inclination to read ingredients on a package when they're buying something in a store.
Wait, it's that you have to show them that something better exists.
Exactly.
Show them that, you know, that the window is dirty by cleaning it, metaphorically. Mm-hmm. Saying, look, if this is what you're offered, here's what could be offered. For example, the next two episodes of our History So It Doesn't Repeat series, the first one will be Prussia from, I'm sorry, I messed up my own title. It's From Prussia with Love, the Trojan Horse in Public Schooling. And the next one is From Russia with Fear, the Psychology of Control. Now, the second one ties into what you were talking about, the Skinner-Pavlov psychological control that is used within not only public schooling, but everyone who goes through public schooling then is, you know, citizen out in society, roaming around, earning their living, and we don't realize the psychological controls that were installed to keep us controlled by fear, to keep us thinking, oh, that's too hard or that's impossible, by not teaching us how to ask the questions and find the answers that lead to self-reliance and to be able to be more in control of our own lives. So there's, you know, the Prussian aspect where you have Prussian schooling come in to make schooling compulsory in this country and to do it in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And then in the 20th century, you had this layer of Soviet Russia from Pavlov and all these other PhDs that brought in the psychological control aspect into schooling. And that adds up to the population because most people in this country went to public schools. And even people who went to private schools, they're still having the same techniques applied to them. Because the ruling class seeks to rule, and they do that by creating a large barrier of knowledge. That's the power gap. That's the wealth gap. All these gaps we talked about, they all have to do with a group using information and hiding this useful information from us, and that's what learning can help us overcome.
Right.
Step by step, voluntarily.
Well, you know what? I see Pavlov's experiment going on around me 24 hours a day. You know, I could be in a grocery store. I could be at the gym, no matter where I am. All of a sudden, somebody's phone or cell phone is buzzing, ringing, whatever they do, vibrating. They're immediately on that phone, just like Pavlov's dog. I'm like, look at this. Ring a bell. Bingo. There they are. And I don't think they really realize that they are controlled by their devices, let alone tracked by their devices, but controlled by it, just like a dog.
In our 2010 production, What You've Been Missing, Exposing the Noble Lie, there's a montage in there, and I basically took a Microsoft commercial that was showing all these people watching their phones and like wrecking their cars and tripping and falling and doing all this stuff. And I basically did a voiceover because they provided me such a great opportunity. I couldn't resist. I did this voiceover that explained that this is the future of society. They want you controlled by your multiple Skinner boxes that are mobile that you're going to have with you all the time. And all of a sudden, like, people aren't looking at the sky. They're not looking around. They're not paying attention to what they're doing.
All right.
They're looking at their phones when they're driving, when they're talking to other people. Like, even at parties, you know, we went to a party a couple weeks ago, and it was like, you know, somebody with us forgot their phone, and it wasn't a big deal, but you could tell that, you know, when you have your phone all the time, you don't have it, there's this feeling of, well, what if I need to do this, right? And so watching the other people at the party, then I had someone else who didn't have a phone, because I don't have a phone, and we could watch everyone else, and even when they're talking to each other, they're emailing, they're doing all this stuff.
Right.
Nobody has anybody's exclusive attention anymore. And that fragmentation of attention and control of our habits is exactly how the ruling class controls us as slaves.
Absolutely.
But we can break out of it with learning. Isn't that beautiful?
Well, think about it. You know, I watch, you know, even my own grandchildren, they know when they visit, those gadgets are off. Because I tell them, I'll throw them to the floor and step on them. If you're here, you have my undivided attention. I've cleared my day for you, and I'm not sharing you with your texting or whatever the hell you and your friends do on those phones. And, you know, they will respect that. But, you know, I watch them and, you know, this abbreviated talk that they do with each other, the abbreviated spelling. And then I got a report a couple of weeks ago that only 25% of our children in school are literate, really literate, can actually write an essay, even when they're allowed to use a computer with spell check and grammar check, only 25% can do it.
Now, is that accident or on purpose?
That's you know it's on purpose.
And I found the answer in a book called NEA, the National Education Association, Trojan Horse in American Education, by Samuel Blumenfeld, who clearly gives you the evidence that not only in the 1800s, but specifically in the 1940s and 1950s, there was a large movement to make our children illiterate so that they would grow up to be illiterate people. They basically stated in so many words, you would have to be a Prussian PhD to understand and appreciate the finer points of mass illiteracy, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
This is not by accident. These are international foundations that took over our public education mm-hmm. and are seeking to dumb us down because they wanted to take over this country. This country at one point, you know, over 150 years ago, was free and was all about its basic ideas, and it you know, it stuck to those tenets. People were trying to live independent lives. Yes, there was genocide of the Indians. I'm not making any excuses for that. Government's a bad thing. That's what it does. But as far as the people who moved here, immigrants, people who were just trying to find some freedom, get their own land, because land was saturated in Europe. Mm-hmm. You couldn't just go get new land. Somebody owned all the land there. So
right.
It was a real opportunity. And so I can relate to those people trying to do that. And that gets corrupted through the Civil War, through the creation of the Federal Reserve. Slowly but surely, the international powers from which our founding fathers sought to divide themselves and, like, escape came back into this country. They bred the freedom out of us so that we could no longer even recognize that democracy is not right. The same as constitutional republic.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Carnegie, who created the Carnegie Endowment for International, you know, Peace, and has contributed so much to our fine public schooling system. His 1894, I think, Triumphant Democracy. That book is about redefining constitutional republic as democracy. It's about world government. It's basically the plans and principles for which these foundations have acted out in the 20th century.
Absolutely.
In the 21st century, they've almost completely achieved their goals because the words that it takes to articulate what's going on are lost on people who have no attention span, are lost on people who can only take things in through their phones, because I can't boil it down yet to get to you through your phone. The best I can do is offer a week-long class on a topic and let you go through and familiarize yourself with what exists, what are the primary sources, and what are the things that I need to know to protect myself and my friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But, you know, when you think about the deliberate dumbing down of America, creating illiterates through, your conveniences and gadgets, it takes me back to a conversation I believe I had with Paul Craig Roberts after 9/11. And I said to him, why is it that they can take advantage of Americans like this? So many Americans still believe the official story. And his answer stuck with me forever. He said they count on the fact that Americans are ignorant when it comes to science and math.
And history.
And
that's
anything
right.
else. And anything else.
Well, and that's the reason that we created the Ultimate History Lesson last summer, because as someone who was interested in finding out about 9/11 and what really happened, I then had to answer the question, now that I have some answers, why can't people, you know, join the conversation? Why are they stuck
right.
in this emotional reaction where they think they know what happened without asking the questions, without looking at the objective evidence, without identifying the contradictions, but yet they claim to have knowledge? And the answer I found was in John Taylor Gatto's books, because he clearly gives you the history, over the not only of American public education, but specifically the corruption in American education, how they did it, who they did it, why they did it. And he mentions Carol Quigley and Tragedy and Hope. I mean, he's well-versed and gives you this prolific history. And he only shares some of that during the five-hour interview. But if you watch the five-hour interview, then you'll have what you need to dip into the books. Because, yes, reading the books is a lot more challenging than watching the video set.
Right.
But it's a beginner. It's a good ramp. Yeah, it's 5 hours, but you can't really tell that story in a shorter time.
Right.
There might be a different story that leads into that story that is shorter, and then they can start there, then move to the Ultimate History Lesson, then to the books and Peace Revolution and things like that. But it's a gradual process of our, you know, on our part, on figuring out what are the ingredients to make the recipe that everyone enjoys.
Right. And for new listeners, there's a banner right here on site where you can get that set Just scroll down the page a little ways, and it'll say the ultimate history lesson, and just click through. And, you know, the people that have gotten it have been blown away by it. That's without question of a doubt. You know, for me, you know, I've always preferred reading books, but I do see that a lot of people really don't have the time or the desire anymore to read books. So, you know, there are a lot of good audio files out there. There's a lot of good video. But the truth of the matter is, if you ask most Americans who their famous, most favorite president was, they all buy the story anyway. So, you know, I would say maybe 8 out of 10 are going to say Abraham Lincoln. And we were taught, whether it's true or not is irrelevant, we were taught that he was self-taught. So if you want to believe that Abraham Lincoln was self-taught and became president, to me, the best way to get educated in a world where the education they've created is limiting at the least, you need to stay a student of life. You need to self-educate. And that's obvious from all the work you do, Richard, because you read books that, you know, I haven't even read. But to me, life is always about learning more and sharing what you learn.
Well, to share what I've learned, you know, as a 21st century abolitionist, Abraham Lincoln didn't free his own slaves. He kept his own slaves and attempted to free the slaves of his enemy as a strategic tactic. So I don't respect that, and I don't respect people who keep slaves. I don't want to be a slave, and I don't want to make anyone else a slave. I believe that so many people thinking our founding fathers or any of the presidents are without error or these superhuman people who were...
Right.
No, they're human beings who got used by other people, you know, who found them to be useful in getting to what they wanted, which was control over human resources and physical resources in this country. And if Abe Lincoln could do that for them, then he gets the job. That's who's really interviewing. How well can they manipulate the people and horn, you know, I was going to use a Bugs Bunny term. How well they can pull the wool over our eyes, right? Mm-hmm. And if you can do that really well, you can get into that White House for 4 years, and the people who paid for it are actually renting it for you. So you're very much someone else's puppet, someone else's stooge. So I have no interest, you know, I don't really have a lot of respect in people who act out that office and cause other people to lose their lives, either directly or indirectly, through physical action or through the lies that are told. I just can't find a lot of time in my schedule to respect those type of activities.
Absolutely. But the point I was making is, if they believe the story, you know, like Washington never told a lie, if they believe the story, why aren't people self-educating? You know, when I was younger and, you know, everybody was getting ready to go to college, this and that, my dad said to all of us, you only go to college to get stupid. The more college people have, the stupider they become. And, you know, in retrospect, looking back, you know, when I resented him originally when he threw that at me, everything that I know and everything that I've learned on my own. And I'm a student of life. I'm reading constantly. You know, I know you like Jeffrey's work, but I got to tell you, I'm finishing up a book by a woman. It was Bev Conover at Intrepid Report that recommended her to me. She said, have you seen this woman's book? And it's called Born with a Junk Food Deficiency. And it's written by a woman named Martha Rosenberg, who I'll be interviewing next month. And it's quite the eye-opener pretty much on everything we've talked about today, from pharmaceuticals to the animals to the food to the labels, all of it. A very brave piece of work. And, you know, if people want all the information in one spot, well, there's one book that touches it all, because I already read it, you know, most of it. And I told her, I says, you know, we can't just do one interview on this book. There's too much information in it. And that's rare that that happens on my show, when I'll have somebody on repeatedly because their information is that good.
I think it's great to have these new tools, because basically any tool like the book that you were just talking about is useful in helping to communicate the ideas that are going on in reality to ourselves and to other people. And so anytime you can get credible information, whether it's in a book or in a video or through your own searching online, I mean, you can go to YouTube right now and see how all the presidents in U.S. history are related to King John. And then you can ask yourself the question, is that an accident? Is that a coincidence, or is that on purpose?
That's quite the coincidence. I would tell you that, Rich. Richard, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And
thanks so much for inviting me, Maria.
Yeah, and everybody get over to tragedyandhope.com. There's a live link here. Check out Richard's work. Richard's work is super excellent. So I'll talk with you again soon, Rich.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome. Richard Grove, there you have it. So it really is your own duty to get educated. I know my listeners are probably spoiled because you get to hear this every day, and it does help cut to the chase. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.